Hello, everyone, and welcome back to My Curiously Queer Life. It has been a joyful week and a tough week. It has been some hurdles I had to hurdle, and they have been hurdled. I am very excited. My app is in the last few weeks of production, and then we're going to start working on the launch. And this tickles my fancy so great. It is extremely exciting. I have no words. But I don't want to celebrate too much right now because it's not officially a thing, so we will save the fanfare for later. I wanted to step away from the trauma this week and move into something that happened a few months ago that is, it's good, and it's cheerful, and I think once in a while I need to get away from the trauma, because it's one thing to let go of it, it's another thing to constantly be talking about it. So this week we are going to have a story about some random guy I met peeing on my doorway. And I can hear you now asking, how can that be joyful? Just wait for the story. It is a nice story, and it's sweet, and it's a nice sidestep from baby mama trauma. So, this week, Chapter 11, Not As It Appears. Last night, something incredibly unique unfolded. It was my usual routine of taking Duck for a walk around that time. But as I descended down the stairs, I noticed the sound of running water. It struck me as odd for the landlord to be washing the path at 9 p.m., curiosity got the best of me, and I peered over the edge. Oh, to my surprise, there was a man down there engaged in relieving himself on the side of my building down the walkway I had to walk with Duck. Instead of opting to use the other side of the stairs, I decided to proceed. Looking back, I can't help but wonder why I didn't choose the alternative route. And as I opened the gate, he hastily zipped up and tried to flee. I wasn't particularly upset or bothered by the situation, but I couldn't help myself. I asked him, "Why did you do that?" He pivoted, his face contorted with anger, and it made me very nervous. It seemed like he was ready to defend his actions through force. With panic surging through me, I quickly realized this wasn't a favorable encounter. Nervously, I muttered something about not wearing shoes and simply wanting to walk my dog, and then he peed all over the walkway. Feeling the pressure intensify, I suggested, I'll just go upstairs and use the other staircase instead. Unexpectedly, he said, "Wait." But this time his tone softened. Taking on a gentler demeanor, he inquired about my dog's name, and despite my reluctance to engage with him, timidly I replied, "Duck." In that instant, Duck bounded towards him, overcome with joy, showering the stranger with affection. They played for a minute, during which time he repeatedly asked me what Duck's name was. He complimented Duck's pleasant demeanor and kept playing with him. I clearly could see that he was drunk. Then, he abruptly halted, turning his gaze towards me. Locking eyes, he curiously asked me my name, his smile giving off a certain charm. I have never felt this way before from a stranger. It was so random. A minute ago, he was ready to fight me. The scene played out in slow motion, etching itself deeply into my memory. It's like that pivotal moment in a movie when the soulmates meet for the first time. Everything slows down. His unwavering gaze never wavered, and he displayed no fear towards me. I know it may sound strange why he would show fear towards me. Most men can quickly deduce that I'm gay, especially since I've stopped hiding myself. In response to my sexual preference, they often grow uncomfortable and distance themselves from me. I could not tear my eyes away from his lips. He kept wetting them gently, as if he were preparing to kiss me, seemingly unaware of his actions. Even as I stared at his lips, I could feel his eyes fixated on me, unafraid, taking me in with his eyes. It's been a long time since anyone has ever looked at me like that. Looked at me like they could see me, like there was something beyond my superficial, and he could see the depth. It sounds weird, but when you go through life and everyone's kind of only celebrating superficial parts of you, and that is my fault too, because of all the things that I went through, I thought the superficial parts of me were the only parts that mattered. He extended his fist as if he wanted to offer a friendly bro-like fist bump. I'm certain he noticed the disdain on my face. In an instant, I snapped out of the fantasy, flicked my bald head sassily, and turned to go back upstairs. I bid him goodbye. Just as I was about to leave, he implored me to wait. Come back. He requested to hold my hand. Thoughts raced through my mind. What was happening? Why is this guy behaving so strangely? It must be the booze. Old habits die hard. Why could I not accept some random guy thought I was attractive? My mind delivering endless reasons why this is not as it seems. Perhaps now would be a good time for some additional details about him. He appeared to be in his early to mid-30s, standing about the same height as me, short brown hair, which was clearly not styled, but didn't differ from his overall appeal. His deep brown eyes possessed a mysterious quality, capable of transitioning from intimidation to tenderness with ease. His look was comforting and warm. The smile he gave me conveyed a sense of self-assuredness, though I doubt he fully grasped just how alluring it was. There were signs that he had once been in great shape, like quite fit, though time had masked his definition. He possessed an undeniable allure, a captivating blend of beauty and strength that exuded both love and danger at the same time. Yet his brand of danger didn't invoke fear within me. Rather, it promised a sense of safety and security. I extended my hand to him, and without hesitation, he grabbed it. His eyes locked onto mine, as if he had longed to express something but had no words to say. Navigating the realm of men has always been a challenge for me, as my past experience has demonstrated. I tend to transform into a clumsy fool under the pressure of men who express interest in me. And in that moment, I panicked. I impulsively invited him to come upstairs without any clear intention on my side. I had been committed to celibacy for years at this point. I had no idea what we were going to do upstairs, but the only words that were able to leave my lip were, "Do you want to come upstairs?" And I panicked when those words left my lips, but he said, "What for?" His gaze, unwavering, held steadfast, as if he were issuing a silent challenge for me to say what I wanted to say. The weight of the unspoken words hung in the air, creating a palpable tension. It was a dance of vulnerability and uncertainty, as neither of us possessed the clarity to vocalize the words. I was taken back, grappling with the abrupt turns of event. How did we end up here? Why am I holding your hand? Please, stop looking at me like that. Summoning what little confidence I possessed in the situation, I stammered, kisses and cuddles? I must clarify that I am a confident person in most aspects of my life, but in that particular moment, I found myself unexpectedly flustered and unable to articulate my thoughts clearly. I felt childish and weak for saying those words. Why did I say those words? But before I could withdraw my hand and escape in complete mortification, he surprised me by expressing his desire to accompany me upstairs. Regrettably, His friends were waiting, preventing him from seizing the opportunity. However, he requested my phone number without hesitation. Determined not to leave the outcome to chance or let this memorable encounter slip away into some drunken bender, I quickly grabbed his phone and texted him my number. Although I never heard from him again, the impact of that brief encounter was profound. It reminded me that there are men in this world who possess the ability to see beyond the superficial, who are not afraid to love my depths, who are not scared of my sexuality, who don't mind that I am flamboyant at times. Sometimes I dance around in my underwear. There are people in this world that will love us, you, me, for the things that we are, and we don't have to hide. That chance encounter sparked a revelation, offering a solution to a problem I was facing with the theme of my podcast journal being too dark and not having highs and lows. I will infuse the brilliance of today, the joy of the moments I celebrate now. I will cast the light and joy on the shadows of my past. His gift was not kisses and cuddles, but a reminder to celebrate who I am now. We get so caught up in getting here and planning where we are going in the future, we forget to lose ourselves in a stranger's eyes once in a while. So, to you, stranger, who chose to relieve yourself on my driveway, I express the greatest gratitude. I hope that at least once you think of my hand in yours and it brings a smile to your face. So, that is chapter 11, everyone, for this week. I hope that you enjoyed a story from my current past, and I hope that we can celebrate some current moments and not just get lost in the harder moments. And as always, fill your tanks with joy, love, and kindness, and when you feel it spilling over the edges, you share it with those around you. My name is Thomas St. James, and this is My Curiously Queer Life.